Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. A White House aide commenting on the Geneva talks between President Reagan and Soviet leader Gorbachev noted, "The whole direction of U.S.-Soviet relations is going to be significantly marked by the outcome of the first summit meeting in 6 years." Before leaving Washington on the Voice of America broadcast, the president said, "I hope my discussions with Mr. Gorbachev in Geneva will be fruitful and will lead to further meetings. We seek peace not only for ourselves, but for all those who inhabit this small planet." Without question, the bold objective, whether reflected in limitations of nuclear arms or doing away with Star Wars, was to discuss peace. Time magazine has commented, "The spirit looming over the first business session the Soviet leader has ever held with top American officials was that of Lenin, whose brooding fervor seemed to pervade the exchange." We would comment, "Would to God it were the Holy Spirit who would have pervaded those proceedings in Geneva." Time and time again, Marx and Lenin and his followers have maintained that to further the cause of socialism, it is necessary to use deception, and if necessary, to lie. Whereas concerning the work of the Holy Spirit, we're told he will guide into all truth. John 16:13. According to Ed Tracy, the Soviets cannot be trusted. He writes, "Let not the peaceful coexistence propaganda that comes out of Moscow betray you into thinking they really mean it." He goes on to warn, "The blatant prognostications of the communists are replete with references to the overthrow of the United States by force." He concludes by saying, "There has not been a noted leader among them that has not re-echoed the philosophy that capitalism and Marxism must eventually be decided on the field of armed conflict, and that before world communism can become a reality, the United States must be smashed." The truth is, we're in a battle for our very survival. A high-ranking Soviet official, often quoted as Dmitry Z. Minwilsky, who once declared, "War to the hilt between communism and capitalism is inevitable." He went on to say, "To win, we shall need the element of surprise. The bourgeois will have to be put to sleep. So we shall begin by launching the most spectacular peace movement on record." Said Minwilsky, "The capitalistic countries, stupid and decadent, will rejoice to cooperate in their own destruction. They will leap at another chance to be friends. As soon as their guard is down, we shall smash them with our clenched fist." Well, perhaps we need to be reminded at this time in our history of these words. In no way would we be disrespectful of our country's position on the pursuit of peace. Yet at the same time, we're conscious of the warning given in Scripture. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh." Because the communists do not regard the God of the Bible, we cannot expect that the Spirit of God would hover over the proceedings in Geneva. Of course, Christians had been in prayer that the Holy Spirit would influence our president, whose faith in the Word of God is well known. Very few presidents have ever quoted the Bible, as has President Reagan, even to declaring the gospel. On one occasion, the president quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In an interview with Time magazine, Gorbachev mentions God, but you can be sure his Marxist beliefs prevents him from believing in the God of the Bible. Said Gorbachev, "We must seek ways to put an end to the arms race, to seek disarmament, to switch Soviet-American relations onto a normal track. Surely God on high has not refused to give us enough wisdom to find ways to bring us an improvement in our relations. An improvement in relations between the two great nations on earth, nations on whom depends the very destiny of civilization." When President Reagan said he heard Gorbachev was talking with God, he replied, "We ought to get along fine together. The truth is, if Gorbachev knew God, it would make a difference in his life. As we read in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We might ask, can we know God? To that question we have the answer in the words of Jesus, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." So to know God is to know Jesus Christ. It is the spirit of Antichrist to deny God, which is part of the communist indoctrination. As we read in 1 John 2:22, "He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." And the next verse emphasizes the importance of acknowledging Christ as God, for we read, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father." Ministers will be approached about offering prayer at a public meeting and may be told they can pray to God but not mention Jesus. According to what we've just read, this is the spirit of Antichrist already prevalent in our country. We can't blame the communists if they refuse to give honor to God, if we likewise fail to give honor to Jesus Christ. I was counseling someone new in the faith, and he would pray to God but would not mention Jesus. I told him that when he prayed, he was to freely use the name of Jesus. For our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We repeat how important to know God and to approach him through the Lord Jesus Christ, who through his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection made it possible for us to approach him who is our Heavenly Father. And as to the question whether or not we can know God, I'm reminded of Hilding Halverson, who relates hearing a conversation in his backyard. A neighbor boy said, "My dad knows the mayor." Another said, "My dad knows the governor." Then his own son spoke up saying, "That's nothing. My dad knows God." How wonderful to know God and Jesus Christ and to have eternal life as the Holy Spirit gives revelation of the things of God. How necessary to invite Jesus into our hearts, for apart from him there can be no salvation. Some wrongly suppose if they honor Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, Jesus, and Moses, they're sure to be right, for by recognizing all these religious leaders, they can't go wrong. But Jesus declared emphatically, he was the way to God. "And no man cometh unto the Father but by me," said Jesus. Ah, yes, only Jesus saves. Witness to some sincere folk and they'll reply, "Well, I believe in God." As wonderful as that may be, we'd quickly point out what James writes in chapter 2, verse 19. "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. But notice, the devils also believe and tremble, and there's no salvation for them." May God help us to see that believing in God is important, but it's not enough. It's also necessary to come to know Jesus Christ, to invite him into our heart and life. Have you made this all-important decision? If not, remember your hope of heaven depends upon your acceptance of Christ as personal Savior. As we read in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." When you truly believe in Jesus Christ, he then sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may come and abide with us forever. We've been commenting on a reference to the spirit of Lenin hovering over the meetings with Gorbachev. In contrast, we've spoken of the spirit of God, also referred to as the spirit of truth, guiding our president during the conference in Geneva. We'd have to admit one of the signs of the last days is that of deceiving spirits that will appear to lead men astray. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 we read, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Well, here's a warning all need to heed. Judith Newman, newspaper columnist, writes, "Today polls find that most people think the idea of an actual living devil is something so laughable, it's all right to let little children dress up like one while asking for candy," speaking of Halloween. In the same magazine that reported on the Reagan-Gorbachev meeting, you'll find this ad. It reads, "Are you afraid of ghosts? Invite them into your home free for 10 days. It was an ad for the sale of books, Nevertheless, it's an invitation you can be sure Satan is looking for and will take advantage of whenever possible. In Hebrews 2:14, the believer in Jesus Christ is informed our Lord died on the cross that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Our victory results from realizing that Satan is a defeated foe. Likewise, 1 John 5:18 we read, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Ah, Satan has no right to us when we're children of God. Of course, he'll try to appear as a roaring lion or an angel of light in order to deceive or try to hurt and try to harm us. Luke, a physician, writes how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We feel it's important to quote these verses to show the victory that we can have over demon forces, over the devil. This does not mean that we're not to wield weapons at our disposal in order to defeat Satan. In Ephesians, we're commanded, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Billy Graham has noted, "Tremendous principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness are at work in our world at this moment." "I'm convinced," said Graham, "that Satan is now desperate. He knows his time is short." Says Graham, "The Bible teaches Satan has powerful influences in every nation of the world, and he is the mastermind behind the whole system of evil that permeates the world, dominated by lustful power, greed, ambition, intrigue, hatred, lies, aggression, rivalry, and brutality." In closing, we quote yet from James 4, 7, and 8, where we're admonished, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." In view of Christ's coming, hastening, let this be our determination. "Be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.